Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah, as we know, the time has changed from 9 to 10, used to be from 9:30 to 10:30. I've been getting lots of calls last week also. It's the query, like, why you stopped at 10? The program is between 9 and 10 from now on, inshallah. So you've got to get up slightly earlier. Alternatively, during your breakfast time, between 9 and 10, I think you should make that your date now, inshallah. So that's the way it is, and we talk travel. And I would like to say jazakallah to one and all who mail me, who text me, and who keep us going and keep us alive with this program, alhamdulillah. I would like to make lakh shukr to the Almighty Allah for all that. And thank you very, very much for all your assistance. And all the listeners out there who mail me on muhammad@globetrotting.co.za. That's muhammad@globetrotting.co.za. And also my SMS line, 072-786-5520. It's 072-786-5520. You may text me at any time if there's any information you require also. I'll try my best to pass it on to you if I can. If not, unfortunately, if I can't assist you, I'll try and get some assistance for you wherever it may be. Although we get some very, very funny queries sometimes. We get some queries which just makes me laugh, and I don't know if I respond to it or not. But be that as it may, we sometimes just take it as a joke. But the way it is, we try our best. And I've been getting some messages regarding the airport, where people want assistance with flights and so on. When it comes to the airport, where they're having problems with airlines, unfortunately, I cannot interfere with that, or I cannot step in when it comes to your problems with the airlines. Unfortunately, I cannot do that. And last week we had a guest online where we spoke about the Selu. Now, I had so many questions about the Selu, because we kept on mentioning Selu. Selu, it's a camp out in Tanzania. It's very limited, as we heard the guest saying last week. It's a camp, a wilderness camp, I would call it. And the picture that was painted, and also when I went through the books that I received regarding the Mivumo and the Selu camps, what an amazing place. You know, what fascinated me most was when our guest told us that they couldn't land the plane because there was an animal on the runway, one of the big five on the runway. And they waited for the animal to go off, and then only they landed the plane. And it was all, so it's one of those small, small little planes. So you can only imagine. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, alhamdulillah, shukr, you know, things go on. And also, when it comes to all the different countries that we talk about, we have our different countries, we talk of different places. We try our best to cover as much as we can in a very, very short time. We try and cover all our experiences. We talk to our guests online. We continue with that. And by doing so, when we get our guests online, we try and cover as much as we can. But more than that, that is why we give the information out, we give the mail addresses out, so you can always contact them thereafter. You can talk to them, you can respond to, or you can question them for whatever you want. Last week we had a few queries regarding the Selu, and if you want to do, you could go onto their website. It's www.serenahotels.com. Serena spelled as in S-E-R-E-N-A hotels, H-O-T-E-L-S, one word. So it's serenahotels.com. You can check on the website, contact them. It is amazing. What a beautiful destination. You are in the wilderness. There's absolutely nothing to do. You are definitely in the bush, I would say, and surrounded by animals. Now, isn't that, that's beauty at its best, alhamdulillah. So we look at things like that. Now, that is a Selu. So I had quite a few queries, so I thought I'd mention it today. It's Selu, spelled S-E-L-O-U-S, Selous, so-called, but it's Selu. Beautiful, you got waterfalls, you eat where they have the table set out in the wild, under the trees. Well, you're protected there from the animals though, but you have your dinner table or your lunch table set outside. And you can only imagine how beautiful that scenario is. So that's just so amazing. Then you have bird watching, you have fishing, you have swimming. They have just about everything in that small little camps. And like she said, if you could take about 3 days away and get into that camps for 3 days, what a beautiful way of just getting away from everything. And then you are sure on every trip to see the big five. Alhamdulillah, you can see the big five. Now, our SMS line is open, 072 0726-5520, 072-786-5520. If there's any questions that you have, you may contact us at any time. If there's any queries that you'd like to pose, you may also SMS us on 072-786-5520. We'll try and answer as much as we can. We'll try and get you covered as much as we can, inshallah. And our telephone lines at the studio, 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. If there's any questions you'd like to ask also, you may just contact Muhammad Bhai at the board, and alhamdulillah, the ever helpful Muhammad Bhai is always sitting there to take your calls. Now, today, as I mentioned in the beginning of this year, we want to talk more Southern Africa for the next 2-3 months. That is now probably up until next month and the month thereafter. So we want to talk about Southern Africa in particular. We look at going far abroad. We look at going up north. We look at flying out to different countries of the world. We do have destinations which is within South Africa that we can go to, and the borders of South Africa. We have fantastic places to go to. We have places that we can go to that's just about the best, I would say. We have lovely, lovely places that we can go to. And alhamdulillah, what we can do is we go on, we can drive up. If need be, we drive up to the top, which is, you've got the borders of Zimbabwe, you've got Botswana, you've got Namibia. It's quite far, but you've got Namibia. There's lots of places to go to. So you can do that also. You can go visit those places. And there's so much to do. And if you are a nature lover, if you are a person who would love to go into the wild, animals, fishing, we find lots of people going into these regions for fishing also. You've got, just above that, you've got Zambia. You've got Zambia, which is amazing and beautiful. You go up to Livingstone. By coming to Livingstone, you're at the Zimbabwe border. And alhamdulillah, it's just, it's, you know, when you go there, you appreciate Allah's work, I would say. When you look at every small little detail of nature at its best, as they call it, beautiful and amazing, alhamdulillah. So you'd find that when you get to those places, which you'd find in South Africa also, it's about the best. But it's just a drive away from here. So those people that keep on telling me, why do you talk of countries that we cannot afford to go to? Which we talk of the Bahamas, the white, pristine, sandy beaches. We talk of Seychelles, we talk of Maldives. Wow, we talk of all those countries. But if you're looking on the other side, where you're not looking at white pristine beaches, but you're looking at nature at its best, you've got it right at our doorstep. Now today in particular, I would like to just touch a little on Botswana. Now Botswana is, it's just a walk away from Johannesburg, I would say. Very close. Closer to go to Botswana than going to Durban, I would say. And Botswana is rated as one of the safest countries on the continent, on the African continent. So Botswana is very close. Botswana is well known for having some of the best wilderness and wildlife areas on the African continent, with a full 38% of its total land area devoted to national parks, game reserves, and wildlife management areas, for the most part unfenced, allowing animals to roam wild and free. Travel through many parts of the country, it has the feeling of moving through an immense nature wonderland. So you can only imagine how beautiful it is. As you travel, you're traveling from Johannesburg, you go to Gabs, for example, which is closest to Johannesburg. And from there you go up to, right up north of Botswana. And when you come right north, you're traveling through the desert, you're traveling through, I would say, forested areas, beautiful. So you have about the best. You'd find lots of animals on the road as you're traveling up. Botswana is a landlocked country, dominated by the Kalahari Desert. But it is more famous for its spectacular inland Okavango Delta, which the world talks about, the Okavango Delta. We will touch on the Okavango Delta also later as we're going along. Botswana offers travelers truly amazing and diverse safari experiences in pristine environments. Explore the fascinating deserts, wetlands, savannas, delta, and wildlife-rich game reserves of one of the wildest regions in Africa. And Botswana has been really looked after well by the government of Botswana. Botswana is a sparsely populated country. It's not overpopulated, and is backed by a stable democratic government. It is often referred to as Africa's success story and how true that is a success story. Since its independence in 1966 and continues to grow and develop economically today, Botswana is a rarity in our overpopulated, overdeveloped world. Botswana is untamed and untamable. It is one of the last great refuges for nature's magnificent display in life. And you have the best display of life which you would find in Botswana. And you find all types of animals. You'd find all types of birds. You'd get them all in Botswana. Botswana is an excellent ecotourism destination with the country's government and people actively promoting the preservation of its natural splendor and cultural heritage. You'd find it happening when you go to Botswana also. The Botswana people, they are very, very different. If you find, they are timid people, I would say. I've been quite a few times to Botswana and alhamdulillah, you'd find they are very, very helpful and timid people there. It's situated inland and bordered by South Africa, Namibia, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. So it's got all four borders, which you've got South Africa as a border. You have Namibia on the one side, you have Zambia on the top, and then you have Zimbabwe on the side. So you have those four countries. So it's landlocked. And it's conveniently and centrally located, comprising an area just short of about 600,000 square kilometers. And, you know, Botswana, it's an amazingly clean country, I would say. The people are more disciplined and much, much, much safer than South Africa. And that, I must say, it's much safer. And that's a fact. It happens. And you find many a times South Africans from here, because Gaborone is like 4 hours from here, they would just drive into Botswana. The only thing that many people feel that they would like to do is probably go to Durban or go around in South Africa. Many a times people find that, besides the beach, they go there because of the border. But if you're looking at beauty, you're looking at fishing, you'll find lots of our South African fishermen. They go out there, they go to Botswana for fishing. And it's something which I think it's the best to do when you go out there. Then you experience Botswana, the experience in Botswana is the stunning beauty of the world's largest intact inland delta. Now, having an inland delta is amazing. But you have the inland delta, the Okavango, which is something which lots of people talk about. Now, when it comes to the Okavango, you get people coming from, I'm talking of the world, from worlds away, they come to the Okavango. And those people come in here for 10, 12, 15, 20 days sometimes. They're only in the bush. They love the bush. They probably hire a camp caravan or something, and go with a camp caravan in, and they go into the bush, or they have a safari vehicle and they go with the safari vehicle into the bush and they stay there for 10-20 days. Wow, you can only imagine how beautiful that is. It's nature at its best, like I said. Allah's kudrat, alhamdulillah. The unimaginable vastness of the world's second largest game reserve. The Central Kalahari Game Reserve. It's one of the largest open-air game reserves. Beautiful. The isolation and other worldliness of the Makharikhadi, and the astoundingly prolific wildlife of the Chobe National Park. So you have all these national parks, you have all these game reserves, you have everything there. How beautiful it is there. Alhamdulillah, it's the best. Botswana is the last stronghold for a number of endangered birds and mammal species, including the wild dog, the cheetah, the brown hyena, the Cape vulture, the wattle crane, the curry bustard, and Pell's fishing, the fishing owl. You are sure to find the fishing owl there, the Pell's fishing owl. With more and more cultural tourism options that they offer you all the time, you will be charmed with the people of Botswana in the first place. Visiting their villages, which as you're driving up north, you'd find their different villages and you'd experience firsthand their rich cultural heritage. But perhaps most of all, Botswana's greatest gift is its ability to put us in touch with our natural selves when you go into Botswana. And that is beautiful now, alhamdulillah. And then, Botswana also offers a choice of accommodation options from top-class hotels in the city centers, which you can get luxury lodges in the bushes, and you get safari camps also, to the budget guest houses and the camping grounds only. Where you have your camping grounds that when you go out there, you can set up your caravans, you can set up your tents. You'd find many a times people would go up with their safari vehicles, with their camp vans and so on. But you'll get 10, 15 of them together. They would circle them around and have a bonfire in the middle, and they would just relax in that particular environment of total nature, of natural beauty, alhamdulillah. And you'll have the best of public campsites also, which you can go into. You go in the public campsites, you put up your tents, and you'll find many a times they're protected. So you'll have the public campsites there. You put up your camps, you'll stay there. At nights, you'll have the animals coming through. You'll find all that. You'll hear the sounds of animals all the time. Some people love that. So you are part of that. You are part of the people that love the natural sound of animals, birds chirping, especially in the morning at 4, 5 o'clock. You hear all these birds chirping. You hear the different types of animals, which that's the time they get up and make all the sound. You'd find all that. Wow, what beauty is that? Alhamdulillah, what beauty. And then the best time also, but the, you know, you get, and also their local cuisine. You'd find their local cuisine, it's much served at their hotels, restaurants, with all the game meat that they have. You'd get lots of them. There's halal, there's quite a bit of halal there. There's a halal authority which you can contact while you're in Botswana. Contact the halal authority. They will tell you where to eat, what not to eat, what to eat, and so on. So you can contact them in Botswana before you leave from here. And you'll have lots of hotels which do serve halal, which you can contact them. And you can always find that in, and you know, by doing so, when you get there, by getting into Botswana, you are now just driving up from here, getting into Botswana. You prepare yourself, you set yourself up, you get into the hotels, whatever it is, but more so, in all the major city centers, you are sure to find masjids in the city centers also. And there are lots of Muslim people in Botswana, so you can contact them for all your halal requirements. You can do that also, alhamdulillah. And for those who love fishing, you have Celebi Pikwe. There's great bass fishing in Celebi Pikwe. Now people from Johannesburg, you find them talking of all these different places. Amazing, how beautiful. And the advantage is, when you come to the border, by coming to the border, when you get into the border area, you are going for these games, and you're going for fishing and so on. By doing so, They are certain, they know that you are a tourist, and they definitely look after the tourists. And that's what we love of Botswana and lots of other countries. We love it. Reason being, they enjoy calling tourists into the country, because they know that having tourists in a country, by just getting them in, that is an income for the country. And that's what they look at. So many a times we find that they would welcome you with open arms. They would help you. At the border post also, you will find all the information that you are going into Botswana. By going in, you would find many, many a times that they have at the border all this information. So even if you didn't make your mind up where you want to go in Botswana, by getting to the border, you get all this information, and that can then change your mind and tell you where you must go and what you must do. And it's rather safe. But you know, with all this information, we'll continue with all this after the break. We're going to take a break, go to the shops, and when we get back, we're going to continue with Botswana, going into the Okavango, going right up to the top, going to Chobe. We're going to talk about that, inshallah. But we'll do that right after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And we're talking Botswana. As you heard, alhamdulillah, we're talking Botswana. What a lovely place. It is so close, and what a lovely place. We always talk of different destinations. We talk of destinations far away from us. And we've got Botswana right at our doorstep, alhamdulillah. What beauty, shukar, alhamdulillah. And well, South Africa has just got I think South Africa is just as beautiful. We have our crime, yes, but South Africa is just as beautiful, alhamdulillah, shukar. Now, as you heard, we talk of getting into Botswana, the best that you can get is in Botswana. The best time to go to Botswana, the high season, is from July to October. Now, reason being, July to October is their winter. And with animals, you need the winter. That is why if you know that if you go into the Kruger Park also, the best time to go is July, August, September, October, when all the plants are down because of winter, the grass is not high, and that's the best time. And that's the time when the animals come out onto the tar roads to sit and relax in the sun. And that's when you're going to see all the animals. So that's about the best time to go. And the shoulder season is from May to June, which is dry with very cold mornings and evenings. And then you have from November to April, which is a less popular time to visit due to the rains that cause animals to disperse over wider areas, and many roads become inaccessible due to the mud. So November to April, not so good because of the weather also. And when it's very hot, you'd find that the animals are in the bush all the time. They do not come onto the road where they're looking for heat. And as I said, in winter, because of the tar roads, they look for heat and they come and sit on the roads. And that's where you're going to find animals. And also, because of the grass not being so high, you'd find that those animals, you'd be able to see much more of them. All the tall animals also, and even the shorter animals, because there's no tall grass, you'd be able to see the animals. And that's what you go there for. When it comes to all these game reserves, you're going there to look at all the different animals, alhamdulillah. And you look at how these animals react with other animals and so on. It's just so amazing, and I love that. When it comes to outdoor life with animals like that, I love it. Especially going into the Kruger Park, going through all the different paths and so on, and you know exactly where you must go, and you just sit and just relax and wait for the animals to come by. How beautiful is that? And then you have the photography is an excellent. Photography is all year round. You have the best when it comes to summer season. You'll have the best of plants and trees and so on. You'd have the tall giraffes in between, which are just behind the plants, behind the trees, in between the trees, and you see this long-necked giraffe, and that for photography, I would say, is the best. And then you have the sceneries, which is most spectacular from September to February during the first rains when all those plants are now blossoming. And then for wildlife, the winter months from May to September are the best, as the vegetation is less dense and game viewing is generally more prolific. And birding season is from October to March. Your flood season starts in April. Then your summers, which are from November to April, the days are hot and generally sunny in the morning. Now, when you say hot, I know it is extremely hot, with daytime temperatures of in the region of 38 degrees Celsius. And then you have night temperatures that drop around 20, 25 degrees, which is fairly hot. And then you have your afternoons, which can be very, very humid. The rainy season begins late October, November, ends in March. The northern areas receive up to about 750 millimeters of rain, while the Kalahari Desert area averages between 200 to 225 millimeters of rain. So you have all these different temperatures and all these different times of going, alhamdulillah. And, you know, there's so much to do when it comes to the different areas, different places to go to. I've just got an SMS here. I don't know if it's related to Botswana. It says, Salams Muhammad, at Sopan, where salt and soda ash is mined, now that it has rained, there is plenty of bird life. Now, you'll have bird life where lots of people would love to go see the different types of birds. We look at a bird out here, and we'll find that, we just got a bird. This is the bird. The bird is flying. But if you go into the bird life, and you look into bird life, and you look at all the different types of birds that you'll have, it's amazing when you look at Allah's Qudrat, where you have the different colors of birds. What beauty is that, alhamdulillah. You know, Allah is, there's no words to explain, alhamdulillah. And, you know, our SMS line is 0727865520, all the messages that are coming here, I just enjoy it. And whatever contribution you have about Botswana, you may SMS us on 0727865520, because the SMSs are coming in here big time. And you know what, like I say, it's all close by. Anything related to Botswana, contact me and let us talk about it, because it's something which now, as I'm talking to you, you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm now getting in deep into this whole thing, and I think Botswana is the place to go to, especially when it comes to nature at its best. Then you have your winter months, which is from May to October. The days are dry, sunny and cool to warm. You'll get temperatures, daytime temperatures of about 20 degrees, which is perfect for us. You have your 20 degrees temperatures, perfect. Your nights can be pretty cold, you can get up to between 5 and 8 degrees. It is a bit chilly in the evenings. But it's fine because you got your perfect temperatures during the day, which is about 28 degrees Celsius. And then in summer, during the mornings, humidity, you have humidity, and you have the winter humidity you have, but summer there is a bit of humidity which ranges from about 60 to 80% and drops between 30 to 40% in the afternoons. And then like I said, the best birding months are November to March. Reason being, the delta is brimming with migratory birds. Best botanical months are December, May, when the vegetation is lush and green, and also when most plants are in flower. That's when you can go for that, and you can go have a look at all those plants areas also. And then Botswana is home to one of the world's largest natural phenomena, the tranquil Okavango Delta, which is 15,000 square kilometers inland floodplain that fans out in the northwestern corner of the country, creating a paradise of palms, papyrus, and crystal clear channels and deep lagoons set in a massive sea of desert sand. This fragile wonderland of waterways, islands, and forests in an oasis of wildlife drawn to its life-giving waters from the surrounding thirst lands. You can only imagine how beautiful is that. You got a variety of everything. The evening air is filled with the sounds of birds calling. You can only imagine when you get to your camp in the evening and you hear the frogs trilling and the antelope rustling in the reeds, the wildebeest, the hartebeest, the buffalo and the zebra that roam those islands around the area, that when you peep out of your camps or your caravan, whatever it may be, and you see those things. The elephants wade across channels guarded by hippos and crocodiles, and predators rule the night, that's for sure. And if you have those infrared lights or infrared cameras or infrared goggles, you can see that, and you can only imagine how beautiful that is. But it is only animals and birds that are attracted to this huge verdant oasis, which is the Okavango Delta. Because the area is so sensitive, the Botswana government operates a policy of low-volume, high-income tourism there, making Southern Africa's premier wilderness destination a pricey destination. But this doesn't stop people from flocking to the limited beds in one of the world's most game-rich and unspoiled wilderness areas. Now, they have to do that. I would say, I second them in doing that. They do that simply because it is something which they have to treasure, which they have to look after. If they don't, you'd find all these animals getting extinct. You'd find the whole place being butchered, all the trees being smashed. You'd find that happening. They got to look after it. So they create, they make it a bit pricey, but you get quality out of it. And I think it's fair what they're doing. It's absolutely fair what they're doing. Then you have to service these visitors, a number of safari companies have been established in and around the Delta, particularly in the Murembe Game Reserve, in the northeastern sector, because it is both expensive and complicated to travel independently in Botswana. The huge distances are involved, and the road network is a bit poor, so you need guidance there when you're traveling. And almost impossible in the Delta itself for you to do on your own sometimes. Most tour companies offer full package holidays that cover the Delta and surrounds and will organize everything for you. Now, sometimes you want to do that, but you don't want to be spoon-fed, I would say. You want to experience, and you want to have that experience of the wilderness. And then, but there is more to Botswana than just the Okavango Delta. To the northeast lies the Chobe National Park, which is 12,000 square kilometers, and it is home to some 100,000 elephants. And to the southeast is the Kalahari Desert, and its spectacular Makarikari Plain, where the space is so vast that it is said you can hear the stars sing. That's how big it is and huge and beautiful. Most safari companies include the Chobe area on their itineraries when you go in. They must include Chobe. And some venture south into the endless horizons of the Kalahari Plains. And, you know, it is something which I think it's a must. When you're doing a holiday anywhere, and if you feel you would like to get to have nature at its best, you find many people, they would love outdoor life. When they're going, even if you go abroad, you go far away, lots of people want to go outdoors. They love outdoor life. And by doing so, I think you have it a stone's throw from Johannesburg, and you can just go up the road, and you have all what you really want. Our SMS line is always 0727865520, 0727865520. We're talking Botswana, and the Chobe National Game Park. Whether arriving by air or road, the first glimpse of the river, deep and dazzling in the sandy terrain, is always breathtaking. And that is the river in the Chobe National Park. And it appears as a swathe of brilliant peacock blue ribbon winding its way through a tiny town of Kasane and ensuing wilderness, which you will find, and that is the Chobe Game Reserve. Undoubtedly one of Africa's most beautiful rivers. The Chobe supports a diversity and concentration of wildlife unparalleled anywhere else in the country. And you'd find in all these rivers also, when it comes to fishing, definitely. In fact, I just got an SMS talking of fishing. Salams, Brother Muhammad, the best of fishing, I think, on the African continent is in Botswana. And I think so too. There are many, many people that go to Botswana. I'm talking of inland fishing. Okay, ocean fishing is different. You're looking at Namibia. Namibia has beautiful fishing, but that's coastal fishing. Inland, rivers and dams and lakes. And I think Botswana is about the best. You'd find the best in Botswana when it comes to fishing also. When it comes to game hunting, you'd find in Botswana lots of people go, but it's very limited. There's lots of strict conditions when it comes to game hunting. So be very, very wary and very careful when it comes to hunting. You need to get the correct permits. You need all that sorted out. So just be careful. When you get there also, just be very, very careful. And the Chobe National Park, established in 1968, the park covers almost approximately 11,700 square kilometers. That's about 12,000 square kilometers, encompassing floodplains, swamps, woodlands, and the Chobe River forms its northern boundary. There are four distinct geographical areas in the park: the Chobe Riverfront, the Ngwezumba Plains, the Savute, and the Linyanti. Now, those are the four, and you can, when you get there, also, you have the choice of going to all, and there's so many different camps that you can visit when you're going there. The most accessible and frequently visited of Botswana's big game country, the Chobe Riverfront, is most famous for its large herds of elephants and Cape buffalo, which during the dry winter months converge upon the river to drink, and you'd find hundreds of them standing alongside the river, and you'd find the buffalo in it. Oh, you can only imagine how beautiful that is. During that season, on an afternoon game drive, you may see hundreds of elephants at one time. You may be surrounded by elephants sometimes as the main Sirandela Road becomes impassable, and scores of family herds across the main road to make their way to the river to drink. They bath, they play, they get into that river, they just enjoy themselves. And you'd find the parents of the elephants and all the rest of the herd behind them with all their, I would say, so-called children behind them, and you find those small little elephants, and you find the two big huge elephants in front of them crossing the road, and you find six or eight of the small little ones coming from behind. How beautiful is that? That is amazing. That is, oh, Allah's kudrat, alhamdulillah. And then you have you're driving the loops that hug the river edge. You may see up to 15 different species of animals on any one game drive. So you can imagine, you are sure to see the biggest and the smallest of animals there, including the waterbuck, the lechwe, the puku. This is the only part of Botswana where they can be seen, which is the puku, and the giraffe, the kudu, the roan, the sable, impala, the warthog, bushbucks, monkeys and baboons by the hundreds, I would say also, along with the accompanying predators, which you'll find the lions, the leopards, the hyenas. You'll also find jackals in that area. And then you take a river cruise, and you'll experience the park and the animals from another vantage point. There you'll get up close and personal with the hippos, the crocodile, and a mind-boggling array of water birds, which you'd find also in that area. So you take a cruise and you'd find all those animals, including the birds. Over 460 bird species have been recorded in the park, making it one of Africa's premier venues for bird safaris. Common species to be seen include the sacred ibis, the Egyptian geese, the ubiquitous cormorants, and the darters, the spur-winged geese, the pals fishing owl, the carmine bee eaters, most members of the kingfisher family, all the rollers, and the unmistakable fish eagle, the martial eagle, and many members of the stork family. The Chobe River rises in the northern Angolan highlands, travels enormous distances before it reaches Botswana at Ngoma, like the Okavango and the Zambezi rivers. The Chobe's course is affected by fault lines that are extensions of the Great Rift Valley. And these three mighty rivers carry more water than all other rivers in southern Africa. Then you have the Nguenzumba Plains. And Nguenzumba Plains lay approximately 7 kilometers south of the Chobe River and comprise a large complex of clay plains surrounded by morphane woodlands and grassland plains. During the rainy season, the plains fill with water, then attracting wildlife that move away from the permanent water sources of the Linyanti and Chobe rivers, and they come there, which is much smaller. So you obviously can view those animals much more closer when it comes to these small little plains and so on. Beautiful, amazing, alhamdulillah. So that's, you know, it's just so beautiful. And then you have the Linyanti. During the dry winter months, game viewing at the permanent waters of the Linyanti can be excellent also. The area that falls within the Chobe National Park, which has a public campsite, is sandwiched between photographic concessions to the west and hunting concessions to the east. So how beautiful is that? And to get to Botswana, not very far from Johannesburg, as I said, to get to Botswana, it's quite easy. From Johannesburg, you take the Malibongwe out past Hatties, you're going past, just put them. You pass Hatties, then get on the N4, head through Zeerust, and right on the, in Zeerust, you turn right on the R49, which you follow the road right up until you hit the Kopfontein border, which is the Botswana border post. And after the border, continue straight to reach Gaborone in about 15 minutes from there. The whole trip can take you between 3 and a half, 4 hours at most to reach there, depending on obviously traffic and speed and so on. One thing I must warn you, when you come on the N4 and you're going further on the R49, that side up further, be careful of these Botswana drivers. They'd overtake anywhere, they'd overtake, they drive in the yellow lane, they just go in. Just be very careful when you're handling that road, because sometimes it's a bit dangerous there. Do not drive the part between Zeerust and Gaborone after dark. You can, but you've got to be very careful. There are lots of animals, and we've heard of lots of accidents when it comes to people coming from Botswana, going to Botswana at night. You'd find lots of animals and donkeys on that particular stretch. That's between Zeerust and Gaborone. And please, you know, the speed limit is 60. Try and keep to the speed limits, because there's animals that just pops out anytime, anyway. They don't have fences. There are lots of places no fences, so the animals they roam around on the roads and so on. So just be very, very careful. And then there's a toll gate at Schweizer-Rennike. Not sure about the fees, but there's that one, and there's just about 2 toll gates which you have to pay for before reaching the border. And the Salzinger border is quite a breeze to get through. You just make sure that your car and your driver's license is up to date. Try and have your papers with you if you can. Take your car papers with you. Remember to get a border letter from your, if you got a finance car or something, or if it belongs to a company, get a letter from the company stating that you are allowed to take the car across on to the other side. When you get there also, the border can be a bit chaotic depending on the traffic or depending on the timing also, and you have to pay to take your car across. One permit for the visit, another for the insurance. You need to buy an insurance also. The insurance is valid for 3 months. And all in all, I think it doesn't come out to more than about 400 or 500 rands that you can pay by card, cash, or however you want to. And then another thing, if you go in with quite a few people, maybe 6 or 8 people, take black pens with you, a couple of black pens with you. And just to fill out those forms, you need those black pens. Otherwise, you're going to wait for people to fill out forms and so on. In fact, for all borders, I always advise, try and take a couple of black pens with you when you're going. Because it's much easier and quicker to fill out those forms when you're going, because you need to do it with black pen. And then, also, when you get to the border, you need to obviously have an address that you're going to be using. And that address that you need for has to be in Botswana. So you're using that address. And I think the hotel address or whatever it may be, or alternatively, if you have made bookings from South Africa, take your bookings with you, and you can show them at the border what your bookings are like, and they will allow you. You need to fill it out on the form. Another thing is, when you get through the border, try and grab one of those slips, those entry and exit slips. Take one extra one with you, so when you are there, when you're in Botswana, you can fill it out. So on your way back, you have it ready filled out. When you come to the border, you don't have to stand at those tables and fill those forms out. You just have that form ready, and you just you give it in, and you just get your passport stamped and so on. They will insist that you have your passport valid for a minimum of 6 months if you want to enter Botswana also. So make sure you have that. And also another thing which is important, your yellow fever cards and your yellow cards, whatever they may call it, get that up to date also, because sometimes it's necessary. They would ask you for that. You would need your cards, your vaccination cards, so you take your cards with you. That you have to do. In fact, for all the African countries, when you're going up there, have your cards. Normally, wherever you travel, and if you do have your vaccination cards, it doesn't hurt you to take it with you, because sometimes it's not. They may tell you that it's not required, but in the event there's some changes or anything and you may require the card, you have it with you. So it's no train smash. You just keep it with your passports and you take that card with you. So it's okay. You have it and you take the card and you go through. So that's something which is of importance. So you can travel by road from Johannesburg to Botswana. Between 3 and 4 hours, you can make it right up to Gaborone's. From there, going out right up to Francistown and so on. You can drive in. When you're in Botswana, you can drive up. There's filling stations in between. Remember, fuel is cheaper in Botswana than South Africa. So if you fill up in Johannesburg, you can fill up back in. When you're in Gaborone's, you can fill fuel again on that side. It's much cheaper. Need not fill when you come to the border and then go in like we normally do with some other African countries. Mozambique, for example, you come to the border. Before the border, you fill up and then you go across onto the other side. They've got pure fuel and you can go across onto the other side, inshallah. We're already out of time. I had something that was so interesting that I came across yesterday. I was going to read it out to you, but inshallah, we'll see next week. It was something to do with charity, helping others. I came across the story yesterday. It's one A4 page, so very, very, it brought tears to my eyes. But inshallah, we'll probably do that next week. And next week also, we'll talk of one of the other African countries. Let's see if we can cover Africa and get you going into Africa, first of all, before going further up and abroad, because people are already planning to go out and abroad from South Africa, which the holidays are coming very, very soon, within a month, I think. We already have our holidays. And then also, Ijtima is coming through 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th April. Prepare for that, inshallah. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.